My name is Seth Spurlock. I am 19 years old as of today. Today is Sunday, July the 7th, 2019, and I'm speaking with David Danny Griffith at his house in Milton, West Virginia. Our FYS class has been focusing on the themes of critical thinking, the power of value of asking well-crafted questions, storytelling, and the stories we tell in responding to those well-crafted questions. Frank Sesno's book, Ask More, has served as an inspiration for this interview. This interview will be focused on the theme of legacy and life. David C. Griffith, name of interviewee, thank you for agreeing to be interviewed. The first question I'd like to ask you is, tell me about growing up in Milton and what that's like.
Well, I was born in 1949 at the Richmond Clinic here in Milton, which the building has been torn down several years ago. But I'm 70 years old now, and I've lived in my entire life here, other than the 3 years I served in the Army service. I done carpentry work and also was employed at the Milton Post Office for 27 years, which due to my health, I had to retire, and I still live here in Milton.
So what was your childhood like?
Well, times have really changed. Back when I was a young boy, there wasn't any mall. There wasn't much to do. I played Little League baseball for 7 or 8 years. That was the big thing when I growed up.
Yeah. Do you want to move on to the next question?
Yeah, please.
Right. So tell me about the friends you've had in life, the impact they had on you.
Well, I've met a lot of wonderful people through my life here in Milton and away from home. But the biggest thing, I guess, is my own family. My grandfather lived here in Milton his entire life. He moved here from a place up in Lincoln County called Yawkey and Griffithsville. That he was a farmer, that he built a home here in Milton, which has also been torn down, but it was supposedly the first house in Milton that ever had electric in it.
It was on the corner of Stewart Street, wasn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. My grandfather built that in 1916 and lived there. My dad lived there till he was 7 or 8 years old, and my grandfather sold it to Dr. Richmond, which lived out his life there and his practice of a doctor. And 8 or 10 years ago, it was sold to a lady from Charleston, purchased it, which here in the last 2 or 3 years, it was sold. And the gentleman that bought it developed the property into commercial property.
Yeah. I've also heard stories that you and your friends used to ride mini bikes. Was it where the Woodline subdivision now is, correct?
Yes, sir. My parents' property joined a small dairy farm owned by a gentleman named Mr. Woody, which also worked for the United States Post Office. He had several cattle that he milked, and he lived out a small road called Newman Branch, and he sold buttermilk and milk and the products from milk.
Yeah.
But he passed away, and his wife eventually passed away, and the property went to his two daughters, which one forced the sale of it, and Mr. Meadows here in Milton purchased it and developed it in what they call Woodline Subdivision, which it is now.
Yeah. So, what kind of hobbies have you had throughout your life that have brought joy to yourself?
Well, back when I was born and raised up, there wasn't much to do as there is now, and my family was a very modest family. We didn't have much money, but I had a newspaper route, which I delivered for 2 years, which I done before I went to school, which I had to get up like at 5 o'clock, get dressed, and rode a bicycle to the main part of Milton and picked up our papers and rolled them. Then two of my friends also had paper routes, which we all rode bicycles and delivered the newspaper in various areas of Milton. And then as I growed older, I got a job at Texaco filling station on Route 60 in Milton, where I worked after school Friday, Saturdays, and Sundays, which consist of 12-hour days on Saturday and Sunday, and I was paid $7.50 an hour, or a day, I should say. But while employed there, I had a big interest in cars, so I built cars through my life and sold and traded them. But I still have my very first car I purchased when I was 15 years old for $125. I've had it in the garage for going on 50 years now.
That's pretty cool. You know, you bought a vehicle for how much money did you say again?
Well, I had $75 in my bank account, but I borrowed $25 from my mother and $25 from my father, which I purchased a car, and I had to pay them back as I made money, which I did. I paid them both back.
But it's kind of amazing how you bought something for $125 that today would cost several thousand.
Yeah, and still have it. I'm very fortunate to still hang on to it, but it's just been a big part of my life, and most people know of it and still talk about it and ask if I still have it, which brings a lot of joy to me that they still remember what I did and accomplished with it.
What vehicle is it?
It's a 1948 Jeepster. I bought it from a gentleman in Huntington one night about midnight. He had graduated from Marshall University and he was getting ready to return to his home state, and he had the car up for sale, and my mother and father took me to Huntington that night to see it, and we purchased it. My father drove it home, and my mother followed us in the family car.
It's pretty interesting. Now, I'm gonna ask you about your beliefs. Like, what are your religious beliefs or otherwise about?
Baptist. I was raised in a Baptist church here in Milton, which it also has been tore down several years ago. It was located on Church Street in Milton, but the new Baptist church is still there, but they've built a beautiful brick church, which my mother and father, grandmother and grandfather, and all of our families belong to the Baptist church in Milton.
So would you describe your romantic life? Like, who have you fallen in love with along the way through life?
Well, there's been a lot of wonderful girls that I've had the opportunity to date and share time with. Madonna Blake, she was the first in high school, which she now lives in Nashville, Tennessee, but she was a Milton cheerleader. Then I moved on to Diane McDonough, which now is still resides in Milton, but she has stage 4 thyroid cancer. And the last that I know or heard, she was at St. Mary's Hospital. And later on life, I met a girl that worked at the Hotel Frederick in Huntington by the clothing store called George A. Trites, Ruth Lamb. And after she and I broke up, she went on to become a seamstress at George A. Trites, making alterations to suits, jackets, and different sewing skills. Then I met a girl, Beverly Daly, which worked for the Board of Education in Huntington, and dated her several years, and now that's all come to an end. So I've been by myself for the last 8 or 10 years.
Now, about the lessons you've learned in life, could you tell me about those that you've learned along the way?
Well, life is what you make out of it. I have no education or nothing really to go on, but through faith and prayer, the Lord's enabled me to make a decent living, and I've met a lot of people, mostly country people, but I've worked for doctors, lawyers, all types of people, but my motto in life is treat somebody how you want to be treated, but it doesn't always come back to you that way. So through what I'm going through now in life with a stroke is very hard, but you just gotta be thankful for each day.
Yeah, I'd say that's very true. So what advice would you say you have for my generation and those to come?
Well, the younger generation today are faced with a lot of difficulties that I guess to them they really don't know how to deal with things. Like the older generation, we never did have much, so we don't really expect to have a lot. But most young people now think that things of this world will make them happy, but it won't. But you just have to stay true to yourself and do what you can, and the Lord will provide the rest.
So my first year seminar class, it's focused on critical thinking, and what do you think is an example of critical thinking and how it's helped you in your life?
Well, the drug problem in this country now plagues a lot of people. It's even touched my own family, and the young people have to be taught to deal with these things of social habits, trying to please people and follow in the wrong footsteps. You need someone strong in your life to learn to say no and do what's best for yourself, not what other people want out of you.
Final question I have. Do you have anything you'd like to add to this interview?
Well, I've enjoyed it, and for whatever it's worth, I hope that I've touched someone to benefit their lives and not to take things for granted, because things can change in a second. And if you have anyone that you love, try to show them that you love them all the time, because they may not be here tomorrow.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.